So with that, I'm going to call the regular session of the city council to order, and I'm just going to look at Amy and say that we're all here.
Except Councilor Van Gorn.
Except Councilor Van Gorn, who's enjoying his new twins. And with that, then, I'm going to look at Mary Bridget. Do I read this portion here, or because someone else is going to read the ordinance?
That's correct, but I think next actually would be...
Well, to open the public.
To open the hearing, yes.
And then we'll both read these two sections. Okay. All right. With that, then, I will open the public hearing for the city council.
I'll read the ordinance that I approved. An ordinance amending the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary, the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan Metro Plan, text and diagram to amend the metro plan boundary, adopt the Springfield 2030 Comprehensive Plan, economic and urbanization policy elements, and assign plan designations to newly urbanizable lands, the Springfield zoning map to assign new zoning, the Springfield Development Code to add sections 3.2-915 to 3.2-930, establishing the Agriculture Urban Holding Area Land Use Zoning District, adopting a severability clause, and providing an effective date.
Okay, so this time I'd like to read in the county ordinances. Ordinance number 1301 and Springfield Urban Growth Boundary, Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan, Metro Plan text and diagram to amend the Metro Plan boundary, adopt the Springfield 2030 Comprehensive Plan, economic and urbanization policy elements, and assign plan designations to newly urbanized lands, the Springfield zoning map, to assign new zoning, the Springfield Development Code to add sections 3.2-915 through 3.2-930, establishing the Agricultural Urban Holding Area and Land Use Zoning District, AG, adopting a severability clause and providing an effective date. Ordinance number PA 1341 in the matter of amending the Lane County Rural Comprehensive Plan to modify official county plans and zone maps to reflect the expansion of the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary as amended by ordinance number PA 1304. And finally, ordinance number 16-05 in the matter of amending Lane Code Chapter 10.600-15 to adopt the land use regulations applicable within urbanizable land within the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary.
Thank you. Mary Bridget, are you providing?
Yeah, I think procedurally the next step will be for the county to officially open their public hearing. The Board of Commissioners and also the Planning Commissioners. We're here tonight for a legislative public hearing to receive testimony on the 2030 expansion. Towards the end of the public hearing, we can talk about coordinating for deliberations and keeping the record open or reviewing and continuing the hearing as you see fit.
So this time I'd like to open the for the County Commissioner's public hearing.
I'll open the public hearing for the County Planning Commission. This thing will be still one short of a call, so we won't be able to take any action.
Yeah, I apologize if there's a lot of repetition here, so I'll try to skip as much as possible so we can get right into it. The ordinance that's the subject of tonight's hearing for Springfield file number LRP 2009-00014 and TYP 413-00007 and Lane County file numbers PA 509, PA 13-05393. Is the next step in a multi-step phase adoption process for the Springfield Comprehensive Plan as described in previous work sessions. The plan amendments were initiated by submitting city and county joint notice to DLCD on December 31st, 2009. The first evidentiary hearing on the 2030 plan amendments was conducted by the Springfield and Lane County Planning Commissions on February 17th, 2010. mixed recommendations were forwarded to the respective elected officials as reflected in the briefing memo attachment one to the packet, page 13 to 37. The AG zoning code amendment was initiated on November 14, 2013, file number TYP 413-00007, and has been incorporated into the record of tonight's proceedings. The first evidentiary hearing on the ag zone was conducted by the Springfield Planning Commission on December 18, 2013. The Planning Commission forwarded recommendations to both the Springfield City Council and Lake County Board of Commissioners on the proposed ag zone district. Subsequently, the separate Springfield UGB and 2030 Plan residential policy element were adopted and acknowledged by the state on July 6, 2011. Since the beginning of this work in 2008, the 2030 planning process has been iterative. Several drafts of the employment analysis have been produced, and multiple alternatives for meeting land needs have been considered, proposed, examined, and evaluated, and the record reflects the changing of the proposals over that time period. The amendments before the Council Board and Planning Commission tonight address Springfield's needs of commercial and industrial employment land for the 20-year planning period 2010-2030. The Springfield Kibble Exhibit E2 is an evaluation and determination of Springfield's commercial industrial land needs pursuant to statewide planning Goal 9. The technical analysis that you are being asked to adopt will establish the baseline inventory and economic opportunities analysis of commercial industrial land needs 2010-2030 planning period. Ordinance B2, page 48 in your packet. Upon acknowledgement of the 2030 plan amendments before you tonight, the Kibble will replace the Springfield Commercial Land Study as an important factual base for evaluating future land use proposals, zoning, and policy proposals. The conclusion of the Kibble EOA is that the city has a deficit of industrial and commercial mixed-use employment sites larger than 5 acres, a deficit that requires expansion of the Springfield UGB of at least 223 suitable acres to accommodate identified employment needs. The proposed UGB amendment, as proposed in Exhibit A maps, addresses that need. As summarized in Attachment 1 Council Briefing Memo and as explained in Ordinance Exhibit F, approval of the proposed amendment would add 257 acres of land suitable to meet specific site needs of target industry employers identified in the Kibble EOA on 273 gross acres in the North Gateway and Mill Race expansion areas. The extra acres have to do with I-5 right away, possibly 9 acres, and some other, the extra land that we mentioned in the Mill Race area. The suitable lands, employment lands, are designated urban holding area employment, are proposed to be designated urban holding area employment as shown in Exhibit A. The proposed amendment also includes 53 acres of land located in the FEMA floodway in the North Gateway expansion area and designates these acres as natural resources as shown in Exhibit A2. The proposed boundary amendment also includes 405 acres of existing public parks and open spaces depicted in Exhibit A2 and designates these lands public, semi-public. Approval of the proposed amendments to Metro Plan text as shown in Exhibit D, page 333 of your report, and diagram will establish the urban holding area employment plan designation. And the Metro Plan text is proposed to be amended in Chapter 2, Chapter Section C, Section E, and Chapter 3, Section B, to reflect that those sections of the Metro Plan no longer apply to Springfield and have been replaced by city-specific comprehensive plan, economic, and urbanization elements. Also amended in Chapter 2, Section G, to add the urban holding area land use designation and to remove specific reference to a Springfield site, the Natron Special Holding Industrial Site, and to change footnote 7 to add reference to this ordinance as contained in Exhibit D. Pursuant to statewide planning Goal 9, the Metro Plan is proposed to be amended to adopt Springfield's city-specific 2030 comprehensive plan economic element and the technical supplement Kibble EOA to replace the Springfield Commercial Land Study as shown in Exhibit B. Pursuant to statewide planning goal 14, the metro plan is proposed to be amended to adopt the Springfield Comprehensive Plan urbanization element, including goals, policies, and strategies as set forth in Exhibit C. The metro plan diagram is proposed to be amended to move the metro plan boundary to be determinist with the amended Springfield UGB. The proposed amendments to the development code would establish the agriculture urban holding area land use district as shown in Exhibit E. Proposed amendments to the Springfield zoning map would assign the agriculture urban holding area zoning to 328 acres of land and the public land and open space zone to 455 acres of land as shown in Exhibit A. Staff conducted public involvement activities over the multi-year period and received input from hundreds of people. Complete documentation of planning process to date, including the previous hearings, public involvement activities, council work sessions to develop draft plan policies and UGB amendments. Proposals before you is provided in the complete record. Those who participated or requested information have been provided with mail and emailed notice of tonight's proceedings. The proposals before you have been developed after conducting thorough analysis of Springfield plan needs and development of land use plans and policies to meet those needs as required under statewide plan goal 9 rules and urban growth boundary location alternative analysis under ORS 197-298-14 and after considering public input received to date. Timely and sufficient notice of the public hearings pursuant to Springfield Development Code Section 5.2-115 has been provided. The notice established the date of August 22nd for testimony to be submitted to be included in the council and board packet. Testimony received. One letter with attachment was received from the Law Office of Bill Close representing Johnson Crushers International and has been included in the agenda packet as attachment 3. Prior to the hearing, staff received the following testimony. We received an email from Mike Eister representing Springfield Chamber of Commerce in support of the UGB amendment. That's the only letter that I received before 5 o'clock today. Approval criteria. The Springfield 2030 plan proposal contains an amendment of the UGB by a city with a population of 2,500 or more that adds more than 50 acres. Pursuant to OAR 660-025-0175, the UGB amendment is submitted to the department and commission for review for compliance with applicable Oregon statewide planning goals 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, statutes and rules in the manner provided for review of UGB amendments. The amendments must be consistent with the relevant comprehensive plan policies. Criteria include, but are not limited to, Metro Plan Diagram Amendment Criteria, Springfield Development Code, SDC Section 5.14, almost done, bear with me, 135C, Springfield Development Code Amendment Criteria, SDC Section 5.6-115, Springfield Zoning Map Amendment Criteria, SDC Section 5.22-115C. And then Kira will read the land code sections.
So in addition to those criteria identified by Linda, and not limited to these additional criteria for the RCP amendment include land code chapter 12, sections 12.210, 12.220, and 12.225. In addition, criteria contained in Land Code 16.252, Land Code 16.400, and Land Code 14.200.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you to step forward when I call your name, and please state your name and address. And we're asking you to give us your zip code also for the tonight's meeting. And please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. The first speaker I have listed is George Greer, and he will be followed by Dan Terrell.
Where would you like me? Thank you. Mayor Lundberg, councilors and commissioners, my name is George Greer. I live in Farm at 1342 and a half 66th Street, just north and across Cedar Creek from the Lighthouse Dog Park. Conversion of rural lands to urban use can result in conflict with adjacent rural landowners. One example, we encounter uncontrolled dogs that present a serious threat to our livestock. Our farm is in the floodplain and is not a candidate for urban use, but our ability to continue to farm is threatened by these conflicts. We hope that bringing Rump Park and all Lively Dog Park into the city will result in increased enforcement and communication between the city and its rural neighbors. There are some activities that preclude being good neighbors. In almost 50 years of farming here, we have been forced to curtail some of our normal farming operations due to proximity to our urban neighbors. Never have the roles been reversed, where our urban neighbors have considered modifying their activities so that we can continue to farm. Maybe now is a good time to start that discussion. I served on the Kibble Task Force. At its conclusion, I was concerned that Springfield was overestimating its future need for expansion and was relying too heavily on investing in expensive infrastructure in the floodplain. I appreciate the reanalysis that has occurred over the last few years and commend the city and its staff for the resulting refinements. One thing this exercise has brought into focus is the natural constraints Springfield faces to any future expansion of its UGB. The strategy of pursuing future expansion of the city into the floodplain is very risky. Funds for infrastructure improvements and expansion will continue to be limited, and using scarce funds for development in the floodplain is unwise. Many of the targeted businesses are unlikely to want to locate in areas that are subject to flooding. Flood insurance premiums in the aftermath of the congressional overhaul of the NFIP have become prohibitive. Expansion into the floodplain is a high-risk, low-reward strategy. Springfield has shown great foresight in its vision of redevelopment of Main Street and Glenwood. This is the future of our community. Whatever the outcome of the current UGB process, I would urge you to look beyond this moment. While the potential for parcel assembly was raised at the Kibble, it was never a serious consideration. Many of the targeted businesses from the analysis could be adequately served by parcel assembly or by more intensive redevelopment or repurposing of underutilized parcels. This is especially true on the Main Street and Marine Glenwood. The city has a history of successful parcel assembly and should continue to use this powerful tool. I am deeply concerned that the city has retreated from its vision of dynamic redevelopment along Main Street, catalyzed by a transit-friendly barter. Please don't let short-term concerns from a vocal minority keep us from embracing this vision of Springfield's future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker is Dan Terrell, and he will be followed by Walter Johnson.
Good evening, Mayor, and Secretary's Home, Commissioner, Chairman and Commissioners. I'm Dan Terrell from Office of Bill Close. We're at 325 Westfield Street, Suite 204 in Eugene, and 97401. We represent Johnson Crusher International. We submitted a letter, which is attachment number 3, to your hearing packet. It's quite lengthy. We thank you and appreciate time and effort you put into reviewing that material. And I'm only going to touch upon a few points from that material. LUBA recently handed down a decision regarding the City of Coburg's proposed UGB expansion. and it continued the precedent set by LCDC and the Court of Appeals of not cutting local governments much of any slack when it comes to deviating from the statutory priority scheme. As harsh as it may seem, they always say that, yeah, there's some flexibility in there. The reality is, time and time again, they look at it and they place great emphasis on that statutory priority scheme. The letter we submitted included a passage from New England that essentially explains why, and I urge you to reread that again. The reason I say that is the proposal before you today greatly resembles those decisions that were remanded by LCDC and the Court of Appeals quite some time ago. It leapfrogs exceptionary lands and EFU lands of poorer soil quality, which is higher in the priority scheme, in order to bring in EFU land that has better soils. That's right for remand. The facts that are in this record advocate for bringing in the CB Loop area before any other area that has been considered in the Springfield UGB expansion. It has the greatest amount of exception lands. It has the only areas that include employment exception lands. And the EFU lands that were part of the study area are the poorest soil qualities of all of the different areas considered. And certainly of poorer soil quality, i.e. higher priority, than the two areas proposed for inclusion here. The CB Loop area contains parcels that either individually or in combination will help meet a significant percentage of the medium and large size need for industrial uses that the table demonstrates are necessary. It doesn't cover all of the city's needs, but before you get to those other areas, you have to include the CB Loop area. We believe that any Springfield UGB expansion that for employment land purposes that does not include the CB Loop area will be remanded just as all those other jurisdictions that have attempted to bypass the statutory priority scheme. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. The next speaker is Walter Johnson, who will be followed by Mike Eister.
Walter Johnson, 89733 Armitage Road, Virginia. I am representing the area in the North Gateway area, probably from a unique perspective, and hope that I can provide you with a little bit of personal insight, because I farmed the entire farmable portion of this whole area for better than 50 years. I've spent my entire life living on it, and I would like to consider a couple things. First of all, making a living on the property is a little dubious, simply because of the hopscotch nature of placement of gravels and alluvium soils and the different aspects of what it takes to grow and make a living on it. Some of it is very good, while other portions are just a waste of time. The parts that are really good are excellent, and anybody would like to farm it. And then they're bisected and trisected by portions that are gravels and all kinds of other issues that require varying amounts of fertilization or whatever. My primary suggestion to you would be that trying to balance the need to provide ourselves with farmland to produce food in the long term probably can be taken care of by other agronomic systems in other locations, and we'd still be okay. A lot of people are concerned that we're just losing a lot of farmland, and we want to preserve it as much as we can. I would agree with that. I fought for it most of my life. Some places like this could continue to produce things for an indefinite period of time. On the other hand, the demands for what we're all trying to do here is provide a place to grow and to provide opportunities for a growing population needs to be balanced out. I still think that this is a good zone to do it. There's few landowners. All of us want to go ahead and move this direction. So I'm in support of that. The one thing I want to bring to your attention is the designation for a floodway that goes anywhere from 600 to maybe down as low as 300 feet wide along the entire length of the Northern Gateway zones. I think it's excessive, it's unnecessary, it restricts the capacity for growth in that area. I think it could be accomplished with maybe as little as 150 feet. And the other thing that I would recommend is some kind of a berm along that when we do infrastructure type activity, and probably bring it up about 3 feet max. And you'd never see a floodwater go in unless we had such a major disaster like a dam breaking. I don't think we'd have an issue with it. I've seen in my 70 years one flood that covered the area.
Your time is up.
And that was an unusual time.
Mr. Johnson, your time is up.
Time to leave. Anyway, I have other ideas. I'll provide written testimony.
Thank you. That would be great. Thank you. Okay, the next speaker is Mike Eister, followed by Richard Holmes. I'm probably not saying that correctly.
Counselors, Mayor Lundberg, County Commissioners and Planning Commissioners, I'm Mike Eister. I live at 825 Willow Cape Court. The code is 97477. I'm the chair of the Springfield Chamber Board. We discussed this issue at our August 17th meeting, and just want to report to you that we support the proposal that the staff has brought before the council and before the commissioners.
Richard Frohlich, you can help me with that.
Do I get his extra 2 minutes?
it'll be me and Nelson after that.
Good evening. My name's Richard Crew. I own three businesses and part owner. I own two and part owner a third business here in Springfield. I received several letters from Linda over the years, replied to some. Through mail. This is the first time I've actually had the honor to come to your meetings here. I appreciate what you're trying to accomplish here. I know Linda's been working at this for the better part of 8 years. My family moved in to the South M area in 1958, 58 years ago. Peaceful, tranquil, deer, eagles, nice walks to the river. Wonderful area to raise a family. Limited traffic from a railroad and a gravel road that can shoot up pretty good, especially in the winter time. In the late 80s, things really started to squeeze down for us a little bit. Molly and Bill Reeves sold the property that's now the well fields to, I believe, a sub for $1 with the arrangement it's never developed. It could be a park, or in this case, the well fields. They put in modified fencing, some gates, started to make it a little tougher to get access to the river and whatnot, but we got through it. Probably in 2005, we were invited by sub back to a meeting or barbecue because they're going to put sand filtration systems in for better water for the community. And they really put on a song and dance and how they were going to be the great neighbor and everything was going to be fine. And well, it just didn't quite work out that way. They put up a lot more extensive fencing and gates and completely shut off access to the rivers. I apologize, I'm not quite as well prepared as as, say, Linda was here. Over the years, we've had people that have lived there their whole lives. Bob was there 90 plus years, and I've got a list of people that have been here between 15, 20, 50, 70 years. And the area is just changing dramatically, and I don't know what becoming part of the urban growth is going to be. If they put businesses in there that they want, they're going to need more roads or road access. They're going to be coming down my road to go in from one side, or they'll come down, I believe, to J Street from the other side. We're already seeing traffic that I'm not sure our roads and even the bridge back to our house can maintain with all the increased sub-traffic that's going through there now. Large trucks, 30 to 50, 60 vehicles a day, somewhere upwards of 100. And a lot of those are dump trucks going back to take care of the bike trails and the new Willam Lane jogging path along the river.
Richard, your time is
I didn't get the extra 2 minutes. Huh? So, anyway, it's pretty personal, my reason behind this. Maybe a little selfish, but, you know, we've been there a long, long time. So, thank you for your consideration.
Okay, next speaker is Mia Nelson, followed by Paul Dixon.
I am Mia Nelson. I'm representing 1000 Friends of Oregon. I'm handing out copies of my letter. I did not include all the attachments because they're taller and there's a lot of them, and they're not necessary to understand the letter. Everything that you really need to know is in the letter. It's just the attachments are factual documentation for what I've said. But if you want to see that, I left paper copy and electronic copy. It's in the record for you to review. I've been coming to testify on this proposal since 2009, before I was even hired by 1000 Friends. That's how long this has been going on, and I can say it's changed a lot, and people have done a lot of great work since that time, and I really appreciate the changes that have been made. This is a much better proposal than it was before. I was looking forward to coming and saying that 1000 Friends can support everything that you're doing now, but I'm not able to do that. We support a lot of what you're doing, but there are a few problems, and my letter explains those. And I'm not going to talk about the problems because I don't have time, but I will say this. Many of them are very similar to problems that existed with Newburgh's industrial UGB expansion that went before LCDC 2 years ago. And the problems we identified, the commission agreed with us, were that they needed to be fixed, and they voted to remand the proposal for those same reasons that I have laid out in this letter that have to do with site characteristics. And I think it would be a real waste for Springfield to send this proposal up for LCDC to review without taking a little time to check in with the LCD staff and make certain that you know how they're going to recommend the commission handle this application. The other thing I'd like to say is when I was reviewing all the buildable lands to write this letter, I was really struck by how much vacant and underutilized land Springfield has. It's much more extensive than Eugene's, and it's a real opportunity for Springfield. You have so many opportunities here to grow inside your current UGB. And the other thing I was struck by is how extraordinarily expensive it is for you to extend infrastructure to any of these areas outside the UGB. And that should really give you pause. I talk in the letter about how I think that the effects of those costs, if you pass those on to the community in form of higher SDCs, which I think you're going to need to do, you're really going to have an effect on everyone who builds anything here, and that is quite unfair. So I'm out of time. I really appreciate the chance to talk to you about this, and if anyone would like to talk to me, staff, or electeds, I would love to talk to you more about this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next, Paul Dixon, followed by Randy Fulkerson.
Hi, my name is Paul Dixon. I live in 1055 South 28th Street, Springfield. My wife and I own a piece of property that is already in the UGB for the city of Springfield, and it is not a piece of property that's currently under consideration for being annexed in this proposal. However, we live across the street from most of the property. We've lived there about 20 years. I guess the first question is in the form of a question. Has anybody here who's listening to this testimony and going to have any influence in the decision making on this ever been down this part of South 28th Street and looked at the properties that are affected?
Yeah.
Any of that? Okay, so three out of, okay, more, okay. Depending on what time of year you go, this time of year, the road's in fairly good condition because you don't have any moisture problems with it. But if you go during the wintertime, you'll see a stretch of South 28th Street that is worse condition than the desolation elk hunting unit that I hunt in 300 miles from here on a Forest Service road 20 miles off the main highway. As I said, we've lived here about 20 years, and as Richard indicated, it's really a very unique area because it's farmland. There's about 13 or 14 families back in that area, and there's only one source of egress and ingress, and that's 28th Street. And as a result, and most people don't even know that there's any private property down there. I would encourage you to take a look at what 28th Street is capable of servicing now and what would have to be done in order for 28th Street to service any type of job-creating businesses that would locate to that area. It would include having to replace a bridge, which I don't believe would be inexpensive to do, and bringing sewer and water and curbing sidewalk all the way down, which the city has not been willing and even acknowledges now is not something that they're even looking at doing on the section of 28th Street that's currently graveled for at least 20 years. The other thing I'd like to say is that the city of Springfield and sub over the last approximately 5 years have purchased all of the land with the exception of one piece, all of the major pieces of land that are more than, say, 5 acres in size, in this area. So the city itself and the Springfield Utility Board, who are now listed as joint owners of these properties, which were initially acquired by Sub with Sub funding, and then somehow transferred as joint owners to the city of Springfield, probably stand to benefit the most from any development of this property financially because they purchased most of the land.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So make a trip down there. Take a look at it.
The next speaker is Brandy Falkinson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Randy Fulkerson, a retired contractor from this town, as well as a retired combat veteran.
Mr. Fulkerson, can you give us your address?
1052 South 28th Street. I live across the street from Paul Dixon, around the corner from Richard.
And your zip code is?
77.
Thank you.
Anyway, my time's starting now. Okay. We've seen a lot of impact in this area in the 15 years that we've been down there. We started raising horses and cows down in this area. As it's been mentioned, this is farmland down in this area. Most of it's farmland. It's been used as agricultural farmland for as long as I've been there. We have been able to use the school district's land that was right behind Agnes Stewart Middle School for a number of years. We were able to use that because there was a lot of homeless people that were camped out in that area, and also drug use that was going on there. We talked to the school board because we were constantly moving them out of there. And they said if we could fence it in, we could keep our horses there and we could take care of it. I have done so up until this path was put in, when we were told that we needed to vacate the property and to take our horses as well as our fencing down. So we did so. In this time frame that we've seen this happening, I'm kind of shocked that we're not seeing ODFW here, because there's been a tremendous amount of problems down here with all the traffic that's come down. We've seen our deer population be decimated. Our fish population used to come up and down the mill race when they started to do that mill race upgrade. They totally destroyed the fish habitat. It went dry for 2.5 years, so we destroyed all the fish habitat that was there. And I'm really surprised we haven't seen anybody come down here and say something about that. So we have seen now a bigger population of people that are coming along our property line that is no longer protected, because where Booth Kelly Road goes now, where part of that path is, that's right along our property line, and the mill race is now the only thing that stops people from coming from that path onto our property. There's no fencing that's going to be along that mill race. So we are completely vulnerable to them coming into our barns, coming into mess around with our animals or whatever. We've already had one horse that has been shot in our pastures a few years back. We're not looking forward to this happening again. So now we have a tremendous amount of more population of people come down there that we don't know. I've had run-ins. In fact, my neighbors have all that are here that have all seen the run-ins that we've had from vagrants that come down that area now that never were there before, that we've had to actually call police out to bring them out. Now, because of where we live, we call the city of Springfield, they say, well, we can't come to your place because that's the county. We call the county, they don't have enough people out there to come out and see us. So we finally will get a state police to come out, and maybe the city will come out and back them up. So and then the egress access that we have problems with. Who remembers the fire that just happened back there with the mill? When that fire was down there, you want to know how much havoc that was to get in and out of there, to get the fire that was all of our pastures that were on fire back there? The fire trucks were having a tremendous amount of trouble getting in and out of there.
Your time is up.
Thank you, ma'am,
appreciate
your help.
Those were all of the cards. Everyone wishing to speak, is there anyone else that would make any comment? Okay, seeing no one, I'm not closing the public hearing, we have to make a decision.
No, you can, if the elected officials have any questions with staff, first we can address some questions and then move on to how to handle ending the year again.
So,
can I ask a quick question?
No, not right.
Is there a wait?
No. And we'll have someone answer that question.
As soon as we're done.
Okay. So, is there anyone have any questions at the table? Yes, Commissioner Stewart.
Thanks, Mayor. This question would be in relationship to the federal plan tax amendments that are taking place. Back in 2005, the Board of Commissioners attempted to pass some text language change in regards to creating a public service district, which isn't allowed right now in the current metro text language. I'm curious, and I don't even know the answer, but is this an opportunity to potentially change some metro text in this process and then do the same thing possibly?
On page 288, we said this plan does not
Oh, they have the page 288 of 862. So in the urbanization element, in the text of the element, we included language that says, this plan does not address facilities and services provided by Lane County, the state of Oregon, or the federal government, and does not preclude provision of those services within Springfield. And then we have a footnote that says, Lane County provides the following services on a countywide basis: sheriff and corrections, criminal prosecution, parole and probation, elections, regional transportation, mental health, public health services, workforce assistance, animal services, and regional parks and facilities. And then on page 299, policy 31, where we talk about key urban services for land use planning and annexation approval, we identify those, and we keep the language of the master plan for that because that's also our criteria for annexation right now. We didn't want to stir that pot with all this other stuff that we're doing right now. But we added a note that says this plan does not address facilities and services provided by Lane County, state of Oregon, or the federal government, and does not preclude provision of those services within the state. So we felt that that was addressing what we were hearing as part of their concern about the definition of services.
And so if I'll just add a little bit to that, is Lane County staff was working in Springfield as they were developing the policy for cognizant and that whole issue that the board had brought up, and we wanted, and so what we just reflected is, was our effort to make sure that the new policies that the city would eventually look at wouldn't be contrary or create an additional obstacle. But I think your larger question, Chair Stewart, is that there are still fundamental policies within the existing metro plan that could be determined, and those are not part of this process that would actually require type 3 amendment, but it also involves the city of city council to initiate an amend, and it's actually not part of the proposal before.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Yes, Chair.
Okay.
So recently in Covert, UGB was remanded for, you know, a lot of reasons were brought up here about the exception lands, but also in their UGB, they part of it was into their economic development study around large parcels, and they were projecting that they wanted to take advantage of about 20% of the demand for large parcels. And that study estimated there's about 463 acres demand out there that is unmet in the I-5 corridor here in Lane County. Have you guys looked at all of that study and is Springfield providing a certain percentage of that? Yeah, you know, how much of that piece of the pie is Springfield claiming they're taking? We're kind of being presented with this, there's all this need for large parcels in every city. Yet there hasn't been any coordination of how that demand is being divided up amongst the various UGBs. Have you guys addressed that at all? 800 pages is a lot to sift through to try and figure that out.
We were not approached by Covert to be involved in Covert's decision to move forward with the regional landing. We weren't part of that. They had no discussion with us.
So is your large parcel needs standalone of the region, or is it just?
So if I, and Andy can jump in here, my understanding is that the city's developed a proposal that's specific to their area that is not regional in nature. So I understand that the reality is that, you know, it is a region and there could be parcels that are served on but following the state rules, the city is allowed to evaluate the area outside of their own urban growth boundary, outside of the larger community. That's what occurred here.
So we don't know how they estimated what percentage of what they were
just maybe for the benefit of some of the folks that were testifying for South 28, I used to be the branch engineer in Wichita a long time ago. There's a little development there called Hayden Gardens. I have a stomp around that area since the early 90s, so I'm really familiar with the neighborhood. So just so you know, I've been there. I've been down 28.
About that as well. I noticed it's labeled urban holding area in Glenwood. So could you just explain to me a little bit more of that designation? Is that similar to Glenwood's designation?
No, this is a new designation that we're proposing in the metro plan. It doesn't exist right now. There's other places that have this, like Redmond as an urban holding area designation. But the purpose is, it's like an inch, think of it as an interim step. So when land's brought into the UTV, it needs to be plan allocated right away. But we don't know what type of employment land that area should be until we have, you know, property owner interest or more planning process to determine what's appropriate for that site. So the urban holding area employment just brings it into the UTV and it keeps the parcels large until such a time that the land would develop.
So there wouldn't be then any impact necessarily on what's going on right now.
No, the existing uses would continue, but we do have the ag zoning district that I mentioned, so that implements that plan designation and that ensures that parcels aren't divided below a certain size. It also has language about where you put new structures on a property, and that's language that's very similar to what the county's EFG zoning code has right now today. So again, it's an interim step. So for example, we have the urban holding area, or the urbanizable fringe 10 zoning district right now in our code, the UF 10. So the land that is in the UGB but not annexed is in the UF 10 zoning district. It's kind of a holding zone. But this one we're creating is specific for the employment, large employment sites.
So some of those holding zones, the existing UGB, have, you know, been pretty much developed. A lot of residential area, you know. But that was prior to these new rules, these new zones.
Follow up on that. At such time as some kind of development is appropriate, we figured out what kind of zone would be appropriate, will it be necessary to make a plan amendment to change that urban holding designation to something else? Why?
Yes, thank you. Yes, they would have to do a plan amendment and a zone change to apply the ultimate zoning that would be needed.
Why a plan amendment? That's what I don't understand.
Because they're going to have to address certain planning goals that we're not addressing at this time. Yeah. And again, they're going to want to have the designation that's needed for the type of employment use, whether it's commercial mixed use or an industrial designation or campus industrial.
It's not possible to be general in the designation and do a whole lot of that background today so that then an appropriate zone can just slip in.
Well, that would be nice if we had more time and more. That's the next step. And also there's other planning work that needs to occur, and so all those things are listed in the urbanization element policies and in the county code. Because there's actually more work that needs to be done before those can be approved. Goal 5 for wetland inventories, all that sort of stuff. Prior to development approval. Goal 12, transportation analysis.
Excuse me.
Say something, and
excuse
I know I'm probably
me.
Out of
no.
order.
Yeah, you
well,
are.
I'm going
you
to
can.
Be out of order.
No.
This is not amplified. Nobody can hear it. So I've been here all this time. I'm on the materials. I didn't know. I didn't put in because you're going to say anything.
Yes.
Because,
so
when this gentleman crossed the thing, I wanted to come in, and I can't hear a single thing people are doing. And I think if you're going to have a hearing, you should have one that people can hear. So another, I feel as if I'm not representing anybody.
So Linda,
this is done in an orderly fashion so that it actually is supposed to get us where we want to go. Any other questions you ask, Commissioner Sorensen?
I don't know if you've had a chance to look over this letter. I'm wondering if you could look it over and send us your...
Which letter?
The big fat one that is...
I just got it the same time you did.
Okay.
Staff will be responding to all the...
Yeah, I requested they speak up.
Yeah. I asked whether or not we could get the response back to this.
Not worried about you, sir.
Oh.
You are.
Rarely does that happen. Could you, what's the timeline for that, for getting us a response?
Staff will be responding to all the testimony received, including this letter that we just got tonight, for your next packet, for the next council board packet. And we'll talk about the dates. Okay. Yes, Commissioner Lycan.
So thank you. I'll try to use the teenage voice or the dog voice.
Be fine.
Okay, all right. I can use both of them. I think the question I have, and this is really going to go to, I think, staff, but also I think legal counsel. And to me, I think Mia asks the pertinent question, and that is, can you make the case before LCDC that what you have before you will pass muster? Because I think ultimately, the Lane County Board of Commissioners co-adopt with the city of Springfield, but this is your plan. And it's a plan that's been going on for quite some time. I was in my second term as mayor when we did the great divorce between Eugene. And so it's been going on. And I know there's been a lot of work that's gone into this. And I think the fact that you have been nimble enough to move from one area to another, I think does make sense. I think the Gateway area, probably you can make the case that the infrastructure costs will be a little bit more simpler and easier to justify moving forward out there. But I think that's the big question really is, can you make the case before LCDC, DLCD staff in particular, and are you comfortable with that? And I guess because we're having a hearing, we've had folks who have taken their time out here to come testify tonight, which I think we all appreciate very, very much. But ultimately, that's really, because this is, to me, this is the future of Springfield, something that I personally put a lot of blood and sweat in early on. And so do you feel comfortable moving forward on this? And I think that's ultimately, I'm glad Mia asked that question, because I think that's the question we really need to ask. Is this one that you feel comfortable making the case before DLCD? I don't see Greg Mott here. I got to tell you, his opinion many times in the past was almost gold. So that's really ultimately from Linda, and I guess legal is, frankly, what I see here, and especially where you've moved, I think you can make that case, but I got to tell you, I'm not going to argue before DLCD and their staff. I'm not going to work with them. You ultimately are. So I guess that's really the question I have.
I'd just like to say we have been working with DLCD staff. We've had several meetings up in Salem with them to review our work, and they seem to be accepting what we've seen. We've had very few comments on the most recent submittal. It's our position that we have substantial evidence for the proposal that we've included. That's why it's 500 plus pages of stuff. That it meets the requirements of the vendor plan, the development code, and all the applicable state and local law as described in the Exhibit F.
Thank you.
So I think I'm going to jump in just to say that I've also been with the process since 2009, and we have gone through many iterations. I still believe that our land use laws were intended to allow growth in an orderly fashion that was meant to account for all of the things that we account for within that, in the proposals that we put together. We have significantly changed where we started from. And it was in response to a myriad of the changes and the myriad of regulations and the myriad of other land use decisions that have been made. So we have had to carefully consider what we're trying to do, but we firmly believe that Springfield is a community that is going to grow. We need employment opportunities, and we need places to put employment. And I'm sure we'll work with the other, we just started a new variation of our economic development regional planning, so we're, I know we're going to be in a cooperative mode in terms of who moves to where, and take into consideration all of the areas. So I'm confident in the work that's been done. It is a ton of pages. We killed a few trees in the process, and I want to say that I'm very hopeful that as we move forward that we will continue to make the right decisions on behalf of the community and the region as a whole. Any other comments, questions for this period? Yes.
Spent the day up in Salem, so was there for different committees. So, sorry, I'll speak up, sorry. I was up in Salem today attending the Association of Oregon Counties Legislative Committee and other subcommittees. One of the committees I sit on is environmental land use, and we had a presentation from Amanda, and I can't remember her last name, with DLCD about biological opinion and reasonable prudent alternative that's being proposed for the state. And one of my concerns about the North Gateway area is I was out there in 96 and watched the water flowing through Maple Island Slough, and one of the things that you have to address in that new set of plans that we adopted is channel change, potential for channel change and restricted development in those areas. And I have major concerns in some of those areas along that particular stretch. And also, on the other side of the coin, I'm really concerned about how that's going to impact current existing employment lands within the city of Springfield as far as redevelopment goes. You guys are counting on a lot of redevelopment. A lot of that land will be impacted by those adoptions of that biological opinion on developing in or near floodplains. Only have to look at the Glenwood Refinement Plan and how that may be impacted, and how much you guys are counting on that to supply the jobs for future residents here. So it's a little bit of a balance in counting on some of this land that may be impacted by those decisions resulting from that settlement. But also, I'm a little concerned when you look at some of the issues around being picky about whether or not you counted a parcel internally for a high enough number of jobs, whether you really might be overcounting some of your existing lands for redevelopment because of the future of floodplain restrictions that you imposed upon the city of Springfield, because you guys are pretty well surrounded and heavily impacted by floodplain. So just kind of a cautionary thing where I think there may be some other shoes to drop yet, and no one really knows how that's going to totally play out.
Other questions, comments? Look at what our next steps are.
Mm-hmm. The next step is to decide whether you want to continue the public hearing or close the public hearing tonight, and then also how you want to deal with the record. The written record could be left open a longer period of time than the hearing. And if I could make a recommendation, you could close the public hearing tonight and then set a date to have the record be extended. That way some folks who came here tonight could submit additional information. It would give staff time to respond to Commissioner Sorensen's question about a Thousand Friends letter and some of the other information that's come in. And also your Lane County Planning Commission is still operating without a quorum. We have some dates that we could suggest if you'd like to move forward, and then we've also saved some dates for in case you wanted to continue the hearing, and then also talk about deliberations as well.
So, opinions about, we can either keep the public hearing and the record open, or just keep the record open, is that, what you're telling us?
Yes, and the date for the, if you wanted to continue the hearing, would be October 10th. If you wanted to close the hearing tonight and then extend the record, we would ask for at least 30 days to keep the record open. And if we could have additional time to staff to respond to some of the items coming into the record, that would be helpful as well. And that would be October 14th for people to put things in the record and an additional week for staff to respond. And there's a placeholder for a November meeting if you wanted to come back to deliberate. You don't have to do that. You deliberate together and separately on different items. It's up to you.
Councilor Ross.
Yeah, I would propose that we close the public hearing and keep the record open.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Is there any other opinions, or does that sound?
I'd like to motion.
So there could be motions from the City Council and the Board of County Commissioners to close the hearing, and then we can address the record.
I'm so moved that we close the public hearing and keep the record open.
Second. City Councilor, all those in favor, raise your hand. Any you're a no?
I'm a no.
Okay, so that's four yes and one no.
And then I misspoke, the Lane County Planning Commission, if they could just make a motion to close the hearing, if they'd like to do that as well. I know you can't take action tonight, but we can leave the record open for them to have time to review the minutes and also get the information.
Our turn. Mm-hmm. Any reason Larry Charlesy, Gary, keep the hearing open at all?
I see none. I'm not sure we can do anything except just continue the matter since we don't have a quorum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the hearing can be closed.
I don't think we can do anything other than just continue this to a date certain. Because we don't have a quorum.
You can procedurally, do you want to procedurally do that?
I think Andy has a comment. Okay.
Extending Mr. Thorpe's comment, without a quorum, he probably didn't open the hearing officially anyway.
So what happens then with the missing members? They have a chance to listen to the record or read the record?
Oh, yeah, the record will be available for all of you to meet and as many as you can put together for the meeting.
Okay.
It's in the record.
Do we need to establish some kind of date certain to get back together and talk about it then?
Well, yes. Again, there's not a quorum here, so the board or the planning commission itself can act, but okay. In terms of looking at staff, put something in there.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Park.
Mr. Chair, I move to close the public record at public hearing. Leave the record open until October 14th and allow staff 7 days to go to the public.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed? Passed unanimously.
And I think Springfield needs to follow its own motion for the record. Unless I missed that. Did you do the record?
No, we did.
Did the record have a date certain?
Yeah, it didn't have a date certain. But we did.
Okay.
Yeah, for October. Okay. So
that's it? I think that's it, unless I'm missing something from staff.
And then we'll
have a deliberation on November. So the next question is deliberation. So this is a co-ed option. You can deliberate together. We do have a date, a placeholder on a date, or you can, after the record closes, deliberate separately. Sometimes the moving jurisdiction will act first, and then the county will act after, whatever you prefer.
Yeah,
that is okay. Good. Okay. Sounds good. Is that okay?
Well, that's okay.
So just so we're clear with everybody in the room, the record is extended till October 14th, and the staff has until the 21st to respond. Right now, there's a placeholder for deliberations for November 17th at 7 p.m. And if that changes, we can go public notice. To get public notice to change that, the parties decide, to, the bodies decide to slow forward.
Okay, and the planning commission can deliberate sooner if they complete whatever they need to do that they didn't do tonight. The county planning commission.
Anything else? Good of order. City council is adjourned.
Board of commissioners is adjourned.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, thanks.